With September being Suicide Awareness Month, I thought it'd be important to dedicate an episode to the impact that has on us as parents. So this is what we're going to talk about today. Most importantly, how can you tell if your child is serious about suicide talk or if they're just looking for attention? It's a pretty heavy topic, but it's important to talk about it. So here we go. For those who don't know me, my name is Danielle C. Baker. I am a registered early childhood educator with over 20 years' experience in the field, and I do help parents, teachers, and educators navigate the realities of what parenting is today. Now, don't get it twisted. When you work with me, we're putting the child's needs first. So we're going to have to put the ego and pride aside. And let's get to Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Talk to Danielle podcast. I am your host, Danielle C. Baker. And before we get started, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening or watching from. And of course, with season two, this episode is brought to you by the Self-Esteem Doctor Online Academy with the amazing Dr. Simone Alicia. There is a wealth of resources there to help you with your child's self-esteem and confidence and so much more. So I'm going to put the link in the description below so you can have a look at that. I highly recommend it. So we're gonna jump right in about the suicide talk, and that's something that we're actually censors us now if we mention that word, but it is important, and I am gonna tell you why a lot of people are saying if you know out of sight, out of mind, I don't want to talk about it, but the reality of it is, suicide is the second leading cause of death in the U.S. for children, adolescents, and young adults. So yes, we do need to talk about it. And yes, we do need to stop censoring it, even if it's just the word, because it is a problem. It is this number two leading cause of death in the US for our babies. So this means that for our babies, they would rather kill themselves than talk about it. So there's a problem there. We do have something to do. This is why we need to talk about it. This is why we need to stop censoring it because people are too sensitive about it. Our babies would rather die than talk about it. There's a problem. So this is what we're going to be going through today with this episode. I'm going to walk you through the signs of this. The one of the biggest problem is my child actually serious about this? Or are they just looking for attention? And that's a real issue for parents or even teachers. They might not, that our children might not flat out say, I want to take my life, but there are some signs there sometimes that as parents, we start to get a little worried and we're not quite sure how to take it, right? And we don't want to feed into that attention-seeking pattern either. So we're going to walk you through some of the real signs that where you need to seek immediate intervention, what to do if it's just for attention. Because let's be real, if the only way your child thinks that the only way they can get your attention is to talk about unaliving themselves, we have an issue there with the parenting style as well. And I'm going to go through what the verbal signs would be, what the physical signs, what the social, like behavioral signs would be for real thoughts of suicide, and how we can help with that and what not to do with that situation if unfortunately you are faced with that situation. And again, it's better to talk about it now than to regret it later, right? Don't forget, second number two leading cause of death in our babies in the US. So we'll jump right in. One of the reasons that children or adolescents and young adults revert to suicide is usually a few reasons, one of them being mental health challenges. So we already know about some of these challenges. There's alcohol or drug abuse, of course, which can kind of blur their judgments on certain things. There's bullying, of course, is another huge issue that we will talk about another time. As the sexual orientation or gender identity as well, because they're afraid of not being accepted, because they're struggling with that and they don't have any trusted people that they can talk to for that. will lead to depression, will lead to thoughts of, I'm a bad person. I don't know who I am. And so they could lead to taking a life and family history. So we do know that if there's a family history of mental health issues and suicides, it can trickle down to the other generations. So those are some of the main reasons for our children, for other people, of course. But from the research that has been done, these are the main causes of a child reverting to that very permanent solution to their problems. So how do you tell if your child is looking for attention or if they're serious about taking their lives? So on a if they're talking about it, and again, this is something where we need to stay very calm, because if we react, we'll feed into it even more, we'll cause more distress in our children. So if they're talking about taking their lives, even if it's just the one time they're mentioning it, try without turning it into an interrogation, trying to get a bit more information. If they're just talking about it, okay. You could talk about the impact of suicide. There's a lot of research. There's a lot of resources out there that can help you with having the talk. But if it's real, if it's for real, your child is definitely considering it, then there's more to it. Those words are usually backed up with how they're going to do it. It's also going to be very specific details on how they'll carry it out, when, where. So this is where you will need to act right away. I will give you an example that I've experienced myself professionally, with a student who was suffering from certain mental health issues, and then working in collaboration with the parents and the school and the child and the specialists that were helping this child. So already the parents had done quite a lot of work in helping and supporting their children by getting outside help and getting everybody on the same team so that we could support this child. But the teacher did receive an email from that student. We're talking grade four, so rather young, falls right into that 10, 11-year-old bracket. Sent an email in the middle of the night to his teacher, telling her exactly how he was going to do it, if he was at school, if he was at the after school program, if he was at mommy's house, or if he was at daddy's house. Even talking about it today still gets me emotional, because it's real. It's real. And getting that meeting first thing in the morning to see how can we support this child? How are we going to keep him under surveillance and try to de-escalate the situation? It's real. It's not the kind of reality check that you want to be faced with as an educator, as a teacher, but as a parent as well. And thankfully, again, the parents are very proactive with it. They were very open to getting support, and the entire team was on the same wavelength as to how we can support this child. And so it's going at it alone, trying to sweep it under the carpet, or being afraid to talk about it for fear of being judged, is one of the worst things that you can do for yourself and for your child. You can actually save your child if you do get help right away instead of waiting it out to see if it'll just pass. Because if it's real, it's not going to pass, and you will not be able to tell. A lot of people say, I know my child, I can tell. You won't be able to tell, because when this student sent the letter to his teacher, things were going well for him at school. He was always struggling in school with behavioral issues because of his mental health challenges. Things were going well, so it just took everybody. It shook everybody to the core, because he was actually doing good when this happened. So they will back it up with some very specific details if that happens. They've actually thought about it. They've thought about it a lot. Okay, so do not ignore that sign. It will also be there'll be some physical signs to it, mostly physical signs of depression. So now you're looking at a sudden loss of appetite, extreme fatigue. They are very tired, but their sleep patterns are off as well. They can't sleep. Extreme fatigue, but they can't sleep. So there'll be a change in their sleep patterns as well. And on top of the physical signs of depression that may show up, you'll also get behavioral shifts. So their behaviors will change. They will kind of withdraw from their friends and family. They will be giving away some of their personal belongings, giving gifts to the people they care for. You wouldn't think anything of it, but they're actually starting to let go. They're starting to say goodbye. And there'll be loss of interest in their favorite activities. So this is something that you will see. Let's say a child is really into hockey, right? They're really good at it, and all of a sudden there's a decline in the interest, and all of a sudden they don't want to play it anymore. It was kind of their way out of, a way to get out of their heads, but now they've completely stopped it altogether. That's just an example. They will start isolating themselves more frequently as well. So the way that I explain it to parents when I work with parents or other specialists is, you're looking at the social circle, and somebody who's very serious about suicide will start to, the circle starts to get smaller and smaller and smaller, where all of a sudden it's just the self, it's just me, and I've got no way out. And this is when it happens. So those are things that you need to pay attention to. Now, if they're just looking for attention, I'll go on to how to help in that, but I just want to make a side note about your child is just looking for attention. It does happen. There will not be that many details. There will not be physical signs of depression. There will not be any changes in their social behaviors, in their special interests, So it still requires a talk or a way to change that so that they don't think that they can get your attention that way. But you're still going to need some kind of support, because if your child believes that the only way they can get your attention is by talking about unaliving themselves, there's an issue. We really need to start reconsidering the parenting style, because this is a way of telling you that they're not being heard. They don't feel heard. And their emotional needs are not being met. So there's a lack there from you for them to go to that extreme. And they'll know they get a reaction out of you. Sometimes they just want to test if there's been some rough times in the family dynamic or in their behaviors, school or whatever. They may use it to test you to see if you still love them, because they will feel unworthy. They will feel not lovable, all of that. So it's a way of them testing, and your reaction will definitely influence their decision on this. But just know that if they are using that as an example, you do need to have some kind of talk. You do need to get some kind of support to make sure that your child's needs are being met. Even if it's nothing extreme, your child is going through some kind of emotional distress, an emotional challenge. So you do need to come in on a more gentler side of things to soothe that over, so it doesn't happen again, or it doesn't escalate to something much bigger. So how do you help? All right, you get there. You're noticing that your child's behaviors are changing. You're noticing you're kind of losing your child a little bit, especially as they go into the teen years or the young adult years. You may notice that you're starting to disconnect. And the first thing, your child doesn't even need to show signs of distress in any way. Your child learns through your actions. So the first thing that you could do to avoid having to go through a situation like this with your child is to take care of yourself. You need to take care of yourself. You always have that thing where you can't pour from an empty cup. Your child is learning through your behavior. So if you're spreading yourself thin, if you're pushing yourself into a burnout, you're not teaching your child how to properly manage their mental health status, their mental health situation. So it's very important to take care of yourself and show your child how to take care of yourself when things are a little heavier than usual, so that they can follow suit. And also, if you are going through a rough patch and concerns and scares about your child's mental health challenges, taking care of yourself is going to help you replenish so that you can show up better for your child and you can support them better and give them the support that they actually need. So you do need to take care of yourself. It's not a selfish thing. You need to also to work into getting opening up those doors to communication. So even at a very early age, you need to be able to have that dynamic with your child where they will feel comfortable coming to you to talk to you, even if they're very difficult conversations to have. So if you shut down your child every time you're talking about something that makes you uncomfortable, that can lead to the fact that they won't feel safe coming to you with their issues. So they're going to bottle that up or go to other sources that may not have their best interest at heart. So you need to work that out. You could also kind of build your village. This kind of terminology that I use is surround yourself and your child with people that can add support. If ever your child doesn't feel comfortable talking to you, maybe there's an auntie or an uncle or a coach or a teacher in the in this example that I gave you, the student felt safe talking to the teacher at that moment. And so it's important to not isolate yourself in that situation. Open it up to people that you can trust so that your child can go to them if ever they don't feel comfortable coming to you. Don't take it personally either. It doesn't mean that you're a bad parent. It doesn't mean that you did something wrong, as sometimes your child will not want to open up fully to you because they don't want to hurt you with their problems. So sometimes it's just easier to go with a neutral third party. And that's perfectly okay. As long as that other person knows to come back to you with some situation, some details so that you can adjust and you can support your child as needed. Pay attention to the behaviors as well. Like as mentioned earlier, there's some physical behaviors, there's some social behaviors that may change. So pay attention to the signs your child, you know your child, you know how your child is. So keep an eye on that. Pay attention if you're starting to doubt that there may be some issues there. Don't force it on them. Don't interrogate them, you know, like I was saying earlier. But just pay attention and see how are things going. Maybe there's a family situation that could be a little concerning to them. It could be at school. It could be a lot of external stress that you're not aware of. So it's important, especially if it's bullying related. A lot of the times children will not speak up. So it's important as parents to keep that line of communication with the schools to see how things are going. And it's important for the school to share that. A lot of the times we'll only share some major points, but it's the continuous everyday little picking at the bullying that will just kind of wear and tear down the child's self-esteem and confidence and eventually turn into something a bit more tragic. So keep those lines of communication with the teachers. See if there's any change in behaviors. See if there's any talk. Again, they could talk amongst friends just for attention as well, but it's important to raise awareness to that, to see how serious that is, and to certainly not just brush it under the carpet because, again, you want to address it now instead of waiting until it's too late, right? When you can no longer address it. It's not easy, again, but it's something that we do need to talk about. And, but most importantly, what not to do. The first thing, the last thing you want to do, and it's a reflex for parents, I see that often, is to shame the child if they mention that they are thinking of taking their life. And just to shame them and say, well, come on, that's so stupid, those kind of things. So you're shaming them about how they're feeling. If they're coming to you, there is an emotional need there that's not being met if they have those thoughts, and now you're digging the knife deeper into the wound by shaming them about it or by guilting them. If you're guilt tripping into saying, if you did that, do you realize what that would do to me? Or how would that, you know, what that will do to your grandparents? You know, don't make it about somebody else. They're coming to you with their needs. So don't make it about you. Don't make it about everybody else's family to guilt them to feel even worse and push them even deeper into that dark place. Just don't make it about yourself, and take it seriously. Even if you just think that it is for attention, to say you do realize that for something like this, I have to take it seriously. So we're gonna have to start getting some support for that, so that they know that it's not something to joke around. It is the second leading cause of death in the US for our children. And most importantly, the one thing, get support. If you're questioning it, if you're not sure, because it's very vague, you really don't know, is my children serious about this? Right? Don't take a chance. Get the support. There's so many resources out there. There's so many people in the community that can help you with that. The schools can help you with that. Public libraries have, there's some workshops. There's so much help out there to kind of support you in this and see what needs to be addressed to help your child. So I'm going to leave you with that. It is a shorter episode. It's a lot to take in. But if you would like more information on how to handle that, how to determine the difference between attention seeking or for real, I could definitely give you some more. You can reach out. I am a real person. And let's keep talking about it. Let's stop censoring it. This is serious. It's not something you want to have to live through. So let's keep talking about it, to not necessarily to until everybody gets tired of it, but at least to address it as a serious thing that sticking our head in the sand is not going to make it go away. It will actually make it worse. So how can we support our children? How can we support families to support their children? That's very important. So I will leave you with that. Don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening or watching from. And don't forget to check out the Self-Esteem Doctor Online Academy. There's some great resources to help you with that as well. And until next time, stay safe, stay awesome, and we'll talk soon.